Would you like to introduce our next speaker, Janelle? Unmute yourself. Yes, you are muted. Do you want to introduce her?
I would love to. Oh, it'd be my honor. I'm Mimi, grateful member of Al-Anon. My home meeting is the Friday night Tradition 5 meeting in Woodland Hills, and we are so blessed to have this amazing woman as a member of our fellowship. And so when Yvonne called me, whatever it was, a month ago or so, I was like, I know exactly. I mean, she did have a lot of requirements. Oh my God. And I'm just so grateful that she gets to share her story with us today. Thank you so much, Jonelle, for your courage, and love you. Can't wait to hear you. Thanks, Yvonne.
Thank you, Mimi. Janelle, can you unmute yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi.
Fantastic.
Good to
Hi,
see
everyone.
you.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Vaughn. Hi, everybody. All the beautiful, gorgeous, loving faces I see today. It just makes my day just more better. Mo better. Thank you, Mimi, for introducing me to this meeting and this conference. And I've heard about it over the years, but it just, you know, everything's meant to be. Timing is everything, and everything's in divine order. Always, no matter what. That's how I live in my being. My name is Janelle, and I am a double winner, and I'm going to share about my Al-Anon upbringing, life, spirit, soul in Al-Anon. And how many minutes do I have?
15.
15? Okay. Can you time me like 10, 5? Okay, cool. All right. So my name is Janelle Romero, and my native name is Oyata-Riyanka-Poin. It means people who see this woman. Leonard Krodog, my uncle Leonard Krodog gave that name to me at ceremony. I'm a sun dancer, traditional sun dancer. My kids have grown up in that sacred circle. My kids have grown up in a sober home. But back then I was untreated Al-Anon. I have to say that. But a sober home. That's halfway there. And I come from complete dysfunctional alcoholic home. My parents wanted to be movie stars. I'm from New Mexico. My family is very well known in New Mexico. If you go up to the plaza in Santa Fe, that big cathedral church, my relative is etched inside there. He was the first ordained priest before this was the United States of America. So I'm Apache, I'm Diné, I'm Paiute, and I'm Spanish Sephardic. Another word for Spanish Sephardic is Latina, which is a made-up word. Anyway, I'm a relative of the Pawnee and Powaki and Southern Ute and Lakota and Haudenosaunee nations. And my dad was born on the Jicarilla Reservation, and my great grandma on my mom's side was born on the Mescalero Reservation. And so I really miss home during this pandemic. I don't know why I'm in LA still. I'm trying to figure that out. So I grew up, so my parents, you know, were born in Albuquerque, and when they were kids, they knew each other in school, and they wanted to be movie stars. That was my mom's goal. That was her mission. So my mom got pregnant with me when she was 19. They moved to Hollywood. My mom was signed to Universal Pictures, and she ended up doing all these Elvis Presley films. And I was raised Hollywood, in Hollywood, right in the heart of Hollywood. My dad was always drinking. I was always so many times he would have convulsions. This is, you know, 10 years and under. Okay, I'm talking about for my age. I'm the oldest of three. And my dad was always having convulsions, and I would, you know, have to put a spoon down his throat to save his life. And at seven, six and seven, I was taking care of my brother and sister. I was really their parent. I was taking care of the household. It was something that was just put on me. I didn't, you know, I'm six or I didn't know any better. I just took, you know, did all the laundry, did, you know, that's why I think I'm an overachiever today. Like, have to be doing so much stuff. And so my mom was untreated, and my dad was basically always drinking. He would get sober for a while and then drink, sober for a while and then drink. And he would, I don't know if there's anybody besides Mimi from LA in the meeting today, but there used to be this park on Beverly. You could go there to ride horses. It was on La Cienega, somewhere on Beverly, right? And it used to be this big, huge field, and you could go there and ride horses and rides, and it was a lot of fun. So when my dad was sober, it would be great because we get to go do these things, and we would go buy ice cream, and we would go to the beach, but then when he was drinking, he would terrorize us by putting us in the car, my sister and my brother and I, and be driving drunk down Sunset or Santa Monica or whatever, just rambling on, just on and on rambling on. I was terrified. You know, looking back, I was really terrified. So at that time, there was this, we lived on Kingsley in Hollywood off of Santa Monica. And down that street, there was a park called Lemon Grove Park. And that was my saving place. There was a teacher there by the name of Miss Lemon, and she taught us. There was acting and tap dancing and modeling and all this stuff. And that's that was my safe place to go. And that's, I love that place. I hold that very dear and hurt to my heart because it was a safe place.
10.
It is 10 already? Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got 10 minutes left. You want to, or you want a heads up at 10?
Yeah, heads up at 10. I was like, wow. Okay.
Don't worry.
So anyway, I'm just going to go forward. Grew up in an alcoholic home, mom untreated, you know. I started drinking at 9. My mom and dad divorced at 11. My mom and dad said it was okay for me to live with D.H., Dennis H. He became my legal guardian in Taos, New Mexico. And that's a whole other story that I don't want to, that'll be another story. Read it in my book when it comes out next summer. Anyway, so, but in that environment, I learned how to drink and use. So now I'm going to just move it forward. At 23, I got sober, and I tried to do Al-Anon. You know, everyone's like, do Al-Anon. And I was like, okay, you know, that's what we do. Okay, I'll follow direction, following direction. Oh my God, I did not get it. I tried so hard, even when I moved back home to Santa Fe when my daughter was little. For 7 years, I tried in Santa Fe to do Al-Anon. It was so frustrating. I didn't understand the language. It was like a foreign language to me. It felt like I was on acid, like I couldn't grasp what you guys were saying. I couldn't, it was just weird. It was just foreign to me. And so I, how I got to Al-Anon now, it's been 7 years working the Al-Anon program. How I got here was my daughter. My daughter, I have two kids. My daughter is 33. She's given me 3 grandkids. My son is 26, and I have an incredible relationship with my son. It's very powerful. And my daughter has chosen not to talk to me still. So one day I go to an AA meeting. There was, you know, an Eskimo there. I was crying about my daughter. I was hysterical about my daughter. I didn't understand what was going on. Like, I couldn't get why she wasn't talking to me. You know, I'm a single mom. I raised her. She's my baby. And so he took me outside, and I've been around program long enough to know that he was my Eskimo. He's never been able to get either program, but I love him to this day. And he hugged me really tight, and he said, "You need Al-Anon." No, I don't need Al-Anon. I've tried Al-Anon. It's too controlling. It's this, it's that, it's that, it's that. And I was pushing away. And he just held my hand. He goes, "Just do it for me. Just go to this one meeting. Just for me. It's a small meeting. You know, just check it out for me." And I said, "You know, okay, I'll do it." So I went to this small meeting. Da, 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 the lights come on. It was amazing. I was like, oh, it was just like something. I was ready, right? I was totally ready to hear. I was totally ready to grasp what everybody was saying. It was like music to my heart and my soul. And because of all the years of sobriety, this program like just kicked in really fast for me. And I've been healing like really fast. It's like this catch up thing. And I just love this program. I am so in love with this program. I so love me today. Ellen, I mean, both of my programs have taken me to, my ceremonial ways have reconnected me to my ceremonial ways. I cannot say enough how spiritual this program is to me. I am one where I've always believed in a higher power. I've never been an agnostic. I've always believed in a higher power. And this program today.
5 minutes.
Okay, fabulous. Today, what this program has done for me today in regards to with my daughter, she has her own God. Hey, you know, I gave her 5 years. She didn't talk to me for 5 years. And last summer she called me when I was in Santa Fe. I almost wrecked on the freeway. And she was really kind. She goes, Mom, I know, go park somewhere. So, because I was crying, I was so happy to hear from her. I haven't met my grandkids, but that's not really true. I have, because they each came to me in my dream. Right when she got pregnant with each one of them, they came to me. And I would call my son and I would say, "She's pregnant. She's pregnant again. She's pregnant again." It freaks my son out. But I knew. And so with my daughter, because of Al-Anon working this program, I have a brilliant, so beautiful sponsor. Oh, I love her so much. I don't have to engage. There's no drama in my life. I don't have to engage in her not wanting to talk to me or talking to me. I just let it be what it is. Whenever she's ready, I'm here. You know, every once in a while, I'll email her, say, "Love you, thinking of you." That's it. Zip my mouth. I don't say anything when she calls, or when, you know, whenever that is. Is it sad? Yeah. Is it painful some days? Yeah. But I have you. I have this program. And I have a higher power. So I work through those feelings. One thing I'm so grateful for is that I have feelings. And sometimes feelings aren't facts, right? So this program, if there's anyone new here in the meeting today, you're the lifeblood. I so encourage you to give yourself a chance. and stay here. I know I ran from this program for how many, like 31 years, you know, I didn't get this program until I was ready. My son and I have a great relationship. He's getting married. He's been with the same gal for 5 years. He's only 26. They're happy and what else can I say about this? All my business relationships from working this program has changed radically. Radically. All the friends that in my past that I thought were friends were not really, because I'm not engaging in anything. I'm not engaging in drama. I'm not engaging in dysfunctional behavior. They've always said when I got into AA and in Al-Anon, the road gets narrow. It does, but it's so much brighter. It's a lot brighter and I love it. Today, I have me. Today, I got me back from this program. And I love it here. I love Al-Anon. I love this program. And people that meet me for the first time or see my work or see what I'm doing, they always ask me, why are you shining? Why your light is shining too bright. What is that all about? They ask, I let them know, you know, I let them know. It's a spiritual program for me. Thank you for inviting me to
Thank share. You, Janelle.
Thank you, Mimi.
I love it. So nice meeting you. You guys can unmute you yourself. Go say thank you.
Thank you, Janelle.
Thank you, Janelle.
I do want to say one thing. I love you, and there's nothing you could do about it.
How's that? Thank you.
Oh, that's so funny that you say that, Janelle. She still is in AA. She's a good friend, and years and years and years ago, 20 years ago when I was new, I would call her sometimes and I would get her answering machine and she goes, "Hi, I'm not available right now. And by the way, God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it." And I would just call to hear the message because I'm like, really? If she says it, it has to be so. So yeah. I would borrow her God. Thank you for that. I haven't heard that in a long time. Thank you. Yeah.